Hi, church family, it's Andy here. I'm just going to read the Bible for us this morning, so please read with me. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil.
Hi everyone, my name is Garnet. I'm the lead pastor at Christ Central. It's really great to have this time with you. And we're going to be getting into the part of the Bible that Andy just read for us. Let me just say before we do that, just to say again, you know, we've got that newcomers form. We'd love anyone to fill in our newcomers form. There's a whole bunch of things you can tick there to get information to you. But we'd love to even get a free Bible to you if you don't have a Bible already. And I just want to say to all folk listening, if you've got a Bible and you still don't yet have it in front of you, now's a great chance. Still grab one because it'd be great to engage with this. We don't want to be sort of passive in this whole experience. We actually want to be engaged. There'll be some Bible up on the screen, but not all the Bible's going to be on the screen. So it'd be really good to have a Bible in front of you this morning. But before we get into this, I'm going to pray and I invite you to pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our Lord Jesus Christ, indeed that he is Lord. And Father, we pray that through your word today, that we might know better and deeper and in a realer way that indeed Jesus is Lord. And in knowing that, that we might know such safety and security. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Well, I do want to talk to you about fears and phobias. We all have them, and maybe COVID-19 has elevated some of them, like germophobia. You know, if you're a germaphobe, well, I think things have just got a little bit harder for you lately, hasn't it? Or agoraphobia, a fear of crowds. If that's you, you've been waiting your whole life for a maximum of only 10 people in a room. We live with fears and phobias. Now, if you don't mind confessing it, even in comments, you could actually share what is your phobias, and I'll actually share one of mine later on as well. But I want to move away from psychological categories and mental health to a fear that maybe you've never heard of before, or if you are a Christian, we don't think anywhere near enough about. And here's the first 3 points, looking at this message in 1 Peter, that we're going to think about a right fear, our misplaced fear, and a reordering of our fears. And then we'll be thinking about how that should actually shape our lives. So let's start with this, a right fear. There's a right fear you and I should have, that every single person on the planet should have. And that is a fear of God. Now those words, germophobia, agoraphobia, saw what's common in those words, don't you? Didn't you? Phobia. Now that comes from the Greek word phobos, fear. And in fact, phobos comes up a number of times in the letter of 1 Peter. In fact, we're not going to look at all these examples this morning. But in your Bibles, I want to invite you to come to chapter 2, verse 17. Where it says there, fear God, honour the emperor. Fear God, honour the emperor. It's the same word, phobos, God. This is the right fear. But this is not phobia, you know, break out in a sweat, start to feel dizzy, you know, start struggling to breathe. No, this is not a medical phobia of God. No, to fear God is a posture, an attitude towards God. To fear God is to know God, to revere him as he really is. And I tell you, you absolutely will be tempted to qualify this away and limit it and reduce it about what it means to fear God so that you start to feel comfortable with the idea. Might say, well, to fear God is to have a deep respect for God or something like that. But you have to resist that. We're not supposed to feel comfortable with God, you see. To fear God is to know that he's holy and pure. To fear God is to know what would happen to us in his wrath if it wasn't for Jesus at the cross paying the price for us. In his holiness, he would judge you and I for hell. We need to think rightly about God, you see. You know, if you know that book, The Wardrobe, there's that character Aslan the Lion. And that's C.S. Lewis's portrait of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Susan, the little girl, asks Mr. Beaver if Aslan is safe, to which is the reply, safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king. In fact, check out Psalm 34. This must have been one of Peter's favourite bits of scripture. He already quoted Psalm 34 at the start of chapter 2 of this letter. Now we quote Psalm 34 from chapter 3, verse 10. But Psalm 34 has words like this: taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The Lord is good, and the Lord is to be feared. This is not boogeyman stuff. This is the Lord. He is mighty and pure and so loving and perfect and holy and full of glory. You know, God's not our friendly barista guy in the sky who wants to just give us nice things so we can feel good about ourselves. You have to get right with him. Just as well, Jesus was that perfect lamb without spot and blemish. He died for us. Now back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, a line like, fear God, honour the emperor. You know, this was first century Roman Empire. The surrounding culture with its laws and gods and temples and cruelties and orgies and slaveries and social customs and injustices. And I want to reintroduce those concepts I raised last week as we thought about, you know, Christians and the response to the culture around, the Christians and their response to the culture around. You know, fear God, fear God. This is not conform. This is not take on the values of the culture around, you know, to do with sexuality and gender and justice and greed and porn and anger and envy. No, Christians are supposed to resist that. They don't want worldliness in their lives. Fear God. Him and his holiness is to direct us. But at the same time, honour the emperor. So it's not combat either. Not going aggressive and fighting to establish the Christian world order. Now, as if fighting for a Christian morality to reign over the land is what we're on about, you know, that can make for very rude and self-righteous Christianity. No, this is fear God and honour the emperor. You and I think, probably mostly think that fear is a bad thing. Not sure if you've wrote down any of your phobias. I don't have arachnophobia, a fear of spiders. But I probably have a bit more of a fear of grasshoppers, okay? Those big, weird insect eyes and, you know, their jumpiness. You can never predict their flight pattern. Just yuck. You know, we think phobias are weird and silly. And you might think fear of God is weird and silly. Might think fear of God doesn't fit with, you know, God of love and a love for God. But it does. He lovingly sent his son to die in our place at the cross. So merciful. He's done that work for you and I. He's perfect. He's mighty. He's holy. He's our heavenly father. He is love. We're to love him. We're to fear him. But I want to go to the next point about misplaced fears, because you and I tend to fear the wrong things. And I'm not talking about phobias or spiders or grasshoppers or anything. Now, in your Bible, I want you to go to chapter 3, verse 6. Check out chapter 3, verse 6. This is the bit we looked at a couple of weeks ago, talking to Christian wives, where it says there, "You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear." Or then chapter 3, verse 14, talking to all Christians, says, "But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened." Now, we looked at the Old Testament passage, Psalm 34, before. Here's another Old Testament passage, Isaiah 8, which is what Peter is quoting. It says there, Isaiah 8, "Do not fear what they fear and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread." You know, in the time of Isaiah, the situation was the coming of the Assyrian Empire, conquest of Israel, but told not to fear. Now in 1 Peter, it's applied to suffering Christians facing insults, persecution at the hands of the Roman Empire, but the same thing, don't fear. This is about identifying our misplaced fears. I'll ask you, if you're a Christian, when it comes to your faith, where do you feel most frightened? And I know you will, we all do. Is it with your schoolmates, your uni lecturer, your boss, your neighbours? You know, there's probably someone around you who thinks being a Christian is pretty dumb. But when there's just that hint of, you know, that hint of conversation about church or religion, do you find yourself trying to back away and deflect to another topic to talk about? You know, we're just so unsure of ourselves sometimes, aren't we? We can just be scared. So we need to hear this. Do not give way to fear. Do not be frightened. But what can we do about this? Well, how do we stop fearing the wrong things? Well, we now get to the next point. We need to go through a constant process of reordering our fears. And this is 1 Peter chapter 3, 14 to 15, where it says, "Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord." Again, Peter is drawing on Isaiah 8. You can compare on the screen. You know, in Isaiah, the Almighty, the Lord Almighty is holy. We're to fear him. We see that the Lord Almighty is Jesus Christ. See, the apostle is asking you and he's asking me in our hearts to revere Christ as Lord. And the reality of Jesus' lordship doesn't change on the basis of whether we think it's true or not. It is true, but we're called to take that truth into our hearts, not let our hearts be full of our fears, but first and foremost, fear him. Christian, just as much as your fears are felt and experienced and real, we're called to be active in making the truth of Jesus felt and experienced and real. And we do have our fears. I mean, we fear people because they won't like us being Christian. But even just generally, we fear what others think of us. You know, aren't we an insecure lot? We might see someone as having, you know, it all together. You know, they're popular, they're beautiful, they're intelligent, they're highly competent. So we're afraid to talk to them. What would they want with me? We fear. Maybe we are fearful and hesitant to speak in a meeting. We fear. So what we need to do is a constant reordering of our fears. First and foremost, to revere Jesus Christ. And this reordering is really an active thing. It needs to be an active thing on our part. I'll put it like this with this illustration. You know how at home you might go through that sort of time when you do a bit of spring cleaning. And in the process you discover, you know, what's over there, so you need to put it over there. Find what's forgotten. You know, it's the back of the cupboard, so you want to bring it to the front of the cupboard. It needs to be at the front. Well, that's quite active. We need to be active to keep reordering things in our heart, our fears, so Jesus is brought to the front. How do we do that? Well, church, this is an ongoing thing. You know, there are certain practices and habits and disciplines that help us to do that reordering. You know, you and I, we need the Word. We need the Word constantly. We need to go to the Word to know Jesus. That we need to come together in any way that we can right now. We need the gift of each other. We need the gift of music and praise. We need to be active in prayer. Those are the type of things needed so that the things in our hearts can be reordered. Our fears torment us, don't they? Very frustrating. They tangle us up. They trip us over. The way those fears will be slayed is when Christ, who's Lord and ruler, the one to fear, rules in our hearts. Church, let's together in our hearts revere Christ as Lord. Go to the Word. We need each other. Let's praise Him together. Let's pray to Him. So we've had the right fear, our misplaced fears, a reordering of our fears, and then this starts to change us, affect us. And I want to end today on this, and I want to end on this point, that one of the changes that takes place as we really see this reordering happen in our hearts, the change is to give an answer for our faith, for our hope, and do it with gentleness and respect. In your Bible, check out with me verse 15 where it says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." Now that word, give an answer, might also be translated in the Bible you're looking at with the word defense. It's the word from which we get the word apologetics, if you know that phrase. Christian apologetics. It's not feeling sorry, it's giving a defense. Dan Patterson, who was at Lockdown Live a few weeks ago, makes it his sort of job to be a Christian apologist, to give an answer, to give a reason for Christian hope. Ravi Zacharias, a well-known Christian apologist, he passed away this week. He's written so many books. One of the things he wrote was going around this week. Ravi Zacharias said this. He said, "I came to him because I did not know which way to turn. I remained with him because there was no other way. I wished to turn. I came to him longing for something I did not have. I remain with him because I have something I will not trade. I came to him as a stranger. I remain with him in the most intimate of friendships. I came to him unsure about the future. I remain with him, certain about my destiny." Now, it would be nice, wouldn't it, to be as eloquent as Ravi Zacharias and have his intellect. Not many of us do. But reading 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, giving an answer, a defence, is not just something for the professionals. It's for all Christians. And don't get me wrong, how we give a good answer is by growing in our knowledge, getting to know the Bible more, getting to know some helpful answers. But according to chapter 3, verse 15 of 1 Peter, the main reason we struggle to give an answer and back away and try to deflect and talk about something else, it's not a knowledge problem. It's a heart and fear problem. It's fearing the wrong thing. So we need to revere Christ as Lord. Just can't let, you know, knowledge of Jesus just sort of skate on the surface of our minds. We need to let Jesus, the Lord, go deep in our hearts so that we know him and revere him. You know, again, are you someone who's gets into your Bible? Are you someone who's reading it to know Jesus better? Are you making it a real commitment to stick with church at this time? For teaching and singing and fellowship as best as we can right now. Do you pray to our Lord to know him better? We need to know and experience the reality that Jesus is holy and his Lord, that we might give a reason for the hope that we have. Those three words that I introduced last week about Christians, how they typically engage with culture around, conform, cocoon, combat. 1 Peter 3 verse 15, it's certainly not cocoon, is it? Withdraw from non-believers, just sort of retreat into our Christian bubble. No, this is the Christian life lived out among others, being different in the workplace, in the home, in the sporting team, at school. It's not duck your heads out of fear, but give an answer. And it's not combat either, is it? Verse 15, 16 says, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. This is not being insulting. This isn't taking the chance to tear anyone down for their beliefs. Respectful, even when they want to tear you down. You know, Ravi Zacharias exemplified that sort of respect. Also, as a bit of a promo, Explorers On tomorrow night. Now, I guarantee no matter where you are at or where your friend is at, there's going to be great content there, and the whole vibe is going to be one of gentleness and respect. Now, we want to talk about Jesus, but our attitude will be that we want to demonstrate Jesus. Now, it's so worth getting along to the first week tomorrow night to check it out, and there's still time to let our friends know about what's happening. Wouldn't it be wonderful for our friends and family to discover Jesus for themselves? You know, over these 2 weeks, we've been talking about these ways of engaging with the culture around as Christians, conform, cocoon, combat. So easy to go any of those ways. We're probably wired to go in one of those directions more than another because of our personality, because of our upbringing. But the message of 1 Peter tells us none of them is the way. But we're called to fear God, revere Christ as Lord. And when our fears get reordered and change happens in our hearts, and we need that constant change, but then we find another way. Faithfulness to live the Christian life, the unique and good Christian life, with the ability and the desire to speak of the hope that we have in Christ. Jesus is Lord of all. Wouldn't it be wonderful for more people to discover him as well? So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We praise the name of Jesus, who is Lord, Lord of all, that he died on the cross for our sin, that he rose again and he reigns. Oh, Father, we pray that you, by your Spirit, that you would do a work in our hearts so that Christ and his Lordship is first and foremost in our hearts. Please do this reordering in our hearts, we would ask, to lay aside the fears that can beset us, and that we would know you and revere you and fear you. Oh, Father, thank you so much that we have Jesus. And Father, as we know Jesus, may we have that courage, and may we bring clarity to be able to speak of the hope that we have in Jesus. And in his name we pray. Amen.